Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we touch on a very important subject in this edition. Proverbs chapter 31 presents a biblical concept of womanhood, and yet in the modern zeitgeist, it's so hard for us to identify this this vision that God has for womanhood. And there are always two ditches, it seems, when it comes to any kind of a theological or practical doctrinal issue that we receive from God's truth. There are always two ditches on the sides of the road. And if you can only see one ditch, I like to say you're probably in the other ditch. So the word of God gives us such a balance to understand what it is to be a man of God and to be a woman of God. And of course, the scriptures are not egalitarian. That means that there isn't an equality in roles or expectations in the word of God concerning men and women. And yet they are of equal value in the sight of God. So we have to keep that in mind, that we are all equal in God's eyes, and yet there are different roles and assignments that God has placed for men and for women. And so today we're going to focus in on the question of biblical womanhood. What is it? What is that biblical woman as configured in God's Word, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and Proverbs 31 and throughout Scripture? And Marian Cassian joins me on this edition of the program. She has just completed a new book called The Right Kind of Strong, which is releasing even as we speak. So today it should be released on the markets. It should be available online like today. And Mary now joins us on the Generations broadcast. Mary, welcome.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be with you.
Yes, what a great concept for a book, The Right Kind of Strong. That's it. God calls us to a strength, not to a weakness, but you really need this balanced perspective of what's involved with that. How did you gain something of a biblical vision for womanhood, The Right Kind of Strong?
Well, I mean, that's a great title, because I think that often women think that if you go with a biblical model of womanhood, you are weak. Mm-hmm. But that couldn't be further from the truth. And in fact, right in Proverbs chapter 31, where the Bible is presenting this image of what a woman ought to be, kind of the ideal woman that was being described in Proverbs 31, it says that she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong, and then strength and dignity are her clothing. And so I think it's important that we understand that God wants women to be strong and wants strong women, but strong in the right kind of way.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at even throughout Scripture in the New Testament, where Paul was describing a problem in the church in Ephesus, where there was a group of women who were probably thought themselves to be strong, and yet Paul described them as weak, and weak is what they ought not to have been. They were to have been strong women, but they had all these habits that were problematic in their lives and creating them to be weak.
What would be the wrong kind of strong? I'm sure the world has its version of this, but how would you describe that?
Well, the wrong kind of strong is, Scripture says that we are the wrong kind of strong whenever we rely on ourselves rather than on God for our source of strength, and that that your inherent capabilities don't dictate whether you are a strong woman. It is whether your relationship with the Lord dictates whether you are a strong woman or not. And so if you are in a right relationship with God and depending on His strength, then you can be a strong woman even if you don't bring all sorts of strengths to the table, because God will make you strong. It's in our weakness we become strong. But there are certainly a lot of things that we can be doing on a daily basis in terms of developing habits that will strengthen our muscles. Proverbs said that she clothes herself with strength and she makes her arms strong. So there's active active things that women can do to flex their spiritual muscles and to become stronger women.
I think of the vision in Psalm 128 for our daughters to be cornerstones in the palace of a king. And there's something very strong, very stable, and yet not always obvious. So sometimes the strength is a bit of a hidden strength, isn't it?
It certainly is. And when I think of the strong women in my life that have profoundly influenced me, I don't think that the world would have always characterized them as strong women. I know when I was in university and studying rehab medicine, I was surrounded by all these high-powered females that the world would have considered to be very strong. And yet, some of the women that I knew, and I think of one woman in particular, you know, she was an older woman. She hadn't gone to college. She didn't have a degree. She wasn't a professional woman. And she wasn't strong in any of the ways that the world would characterize as strong. And yet, as I got to know her, she had this fortitude and this spiritual strength that was incredible. And I think the image you just talked about, like pillars, that there's just a stability and a quietness and a confidence and a strength that God gives us as we do life His way.
How do we train our daughters with this kind of a strength? I think that that question probably is in the mind of every parent listening today.
That's an excellent question, because culture lays out strength for women. In fact, it upholds strength as being a really important trait for women. And yet the models for strength that our daughters are getting are models for strength where the women are, you know, competing head to head with the men and making their ninja moves and being domineering, and able to, you know, physically take on the men. You just look at any of the movies that we have in terms of female heroines, and there's just been such a shift in the last 10 years where, you know, the female heroines are fighting the guys, you know, and physically getting into fist fights and beating the guys out. And first of all, that's not even realistic. It's not even, but that's the model of strength that is presented for girls rather than, it's almost a masculine kind of strength rather than a strength that flows through femininity. And so I think the first thing that moms need to do is to make their daughters aware of the messages that culture presents in terms of what strength is, and then draw their attention to what the Bible says strength really is.
Can you think of some biblical role models that would be helpful for our daughters?
Well, there are so many in Scripture, so many strong women in Scripture. But I actually, in my book, The Right Kind of Strong, I actually take a look at a passage that talks about weak women and to see what made these women weak, because there's so much to be learned in terms of in terms of how to be strong by looking at some of the women even in Scripture who were weak, and to say that the Apostle Paul, basically, the women in Ephesus, you guys are weak, and the reason you're weak is because you're letting these ideas creep in, you're letting these people creep in, you're not controlling your mind, you're not getting rid of the sin in your life, you're letting your emotions drive you around. So there's all sorts of things that we can guard against, and we can fortify in our hearts and in our lives so that we might become strong and avoid the types of habits that would make us weak.
I think that reference, I think it's in 2 Timothy where Paul refers to the silly women, the weak women, and I think that they were easily taken by false ideas. It seems like there's also this tendency towards gossip and perhaps the wrong use of Twitter. That's the kind of thing that I'm configuring in my mind. I think of what Paul is after in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy.
It's actually 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7,
okay,
where Paul describes these women, and he says that they're weak, they are being taken captive by these false ideas. They're always learning, but they're never able to acknowledge the truth,
mm-hmm,
not dealing with sin in their lives. So that's extremely enlightening, those types of things that we need to avoid if we want to become strong women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the term is very interesting because he calls them, it's quite literally says, little women, that these women were diminished. They weren't godly examples of what women should be. You know, mm-hmm, the term weak women, they were less than they ought to have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when we turn to the Word of God and we start to uphold the principles of the Word of God for our daughters and create this vision of strength that is noble and beautiful, but also a vision of strength that is entirely feminine and
mm-hmm,
godly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful thing if we can teach our daughters how to be that kind of woman.
Mary, how do we do this? We want to be sure we give our daughters a good, solid education. That's critical. That they understand the Word of God. They've got a strong ability in the liberal arts to read and to write and to consider ideas biblically, but how do we do this in such a way that they become strong as women of God?
Well, I think, again, is drawing attention to the ways in which the world's model of strength doesn't align with God's model of strength, and always pulling them back to the Word of God, because ultimately, it's only the Word of God that keeps us from error.
Mm-hmm.
But that's especially important when you're going through college, getting a professional degree, because those types of programs often try to cultivate a mindset in women that they need to be strong in a certain type of way. And it's not a godly way. It's an aggressive, harsh, kind of strength that is really the kind of strength that is abrasive,
mm-hmm,
and does not align with the character of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if women are aware of that, and I think that starts very young. If
mm-hmm,
you're training your daughters, you need to be talking to them very early on, pointing out, well, you know, this is what culture is saying. This, you know, is the image for strength. This is what the Bible says strength is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when the daughters hit that college age, they can begin to see the messages for what they are and not be influenced by them.
When I think of a strong woman of God, I think of my own mother, 84 years of age and still a prayer
mm-hmm
warrior, you know, on her knees, praying 3-4 hours a day for all these ministries and all of these various ministries her mm-hmm children and her grandchildren are involved with. But the strength seems to me to be what you started out with, and it's a faith. It's a faith in God. It's a confidence in God. It's a solidity of faith. And that's
mm-hmm
that's what we want for our daughters, isn't
yes
it?
Yeah, that's so true, because if we rely on human strength will fail us.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing that we need to tell our daughters, that human strength will always fail you. You know, you're going to hit circumstances in life, and even day-to-day, daily circumstances, if you are relying on your own strength and your own smarts, you're probably not going to get it right. If you want to be the right kind of strong, you need to rely on God's strength and on what God says, on God's wisdom, because anything else will let you down. You will. It's an illusion that you're strong. You're not strong in and of yourself. You're only strong if you have your faith in Christ and you're drawing from the strength of Christ and the strength of who God is.
Hmm. A significant portion of your first several chapters in your book, The Right Kind of Strong, your goal, it seems to be rooting and grounding women in the truth, such that they're not easily taken by what you call the creeps, those creeping in, I guess. So that's important, isn't it? They have a strong foundation of truth. How does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it just goes back to the Word of God. The foundation of truth is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the women in Ephesus, the ones that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy, they were being captivated by false teachers that were creeping into their households and really creating havoc. And the way that these false teachers created havoc in the households, and that, so it just didn't impact the women. It impacted their marriages, their families, their children, was through introducing these ideas that were not in line with truth. And the women started swallowing these ideas that were not in line with truth, and it started impacting their marriages, impacted their families, impacted probably the way that they did life in their homes. And so, yeah, one of the really important things is that we learn to recognize creeps, you know, that whether those are ideas or people or things that are false, that are encroaching on our homes and on our minds. And honestly, a lot of that comes through television set or the internet or things that you, you know, the magazines that you pick up, all the different messages that we allow into our homes that are not in line with truth. And if we let those impact us, then it's going to impact us negatively, but also the rest of our family.
Mary, social media, I mean, that's the biggie today. There's no question that seems to be the means by which many, many ideas and bad ideas are communicated. And the mode itself sometimes seems to me to be a derelationalizing. There's problematic elements to social media. Do you recommend some particular control of it? Do you recommend that women just get rid of it altogether? How do they handle social media?
Well, I think that has to be an individual decision. Mm-hmm. And some people use social media for good, but it certainly seems to be that social media is a source not only of girls drawing their identity from it, but also being impacted by it and influenced by it. So that's something that moms need to, have a look at really early on, is how am I going to let my daughter be impacted by social media or even exposed to social media, because it can be so devastating and so negative in a girl's life, in just in terms of her identity, in terms of her friendships, in terms of just being drawn into ideas that aren't true. Mm-hmm. And not just for young girls, but also for older girls and also for adults. I see a lot of women who struggle, and it's because of social media. If they would just put their phones away and not be drawn into that all day, every day, they would be in a far healthier spot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is a huge issue for this generation that we've never had to deal with before.
Mm. You talk about how important it is to be thinking properly, and I think somebody wrote a book on the battlefield of the mind. So much of our problems in life are linked to our bad thinking. How do we understand our thoughts? How do we know where we are in this battle? How do we assess our thoughts such that that we can gauge this battle of the mind with the truth of the Word of God?
Well, I think that it always comes back to the truth of the Word of God, and I think that we need to first of all analyze what we are thinking. Mm-hmm. And we're told in Scripture that God renews us, that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that's Romans 12:2.
Right.
So we are transformed by renewing our mind, and that's an ongoing effort. It's an ongoing process where we need to constantly, every day, take our thoughts, take what we're hearing, take what we're seeing, take what our friends are saying on social media, and compare it to the Word of God. to examine our thoughts, to even know what it is that we're thinking, and then to equip ourselves with the Word of God. Because if we're not in the Word, we're not going to know how our thoughts aren't aligned to the Word. If we don't know the Bible, if we're not prepared to counter lies with truth, we're going to be drawn into that, and we're going to fall into the traps that those women in Ephesus did. They were captivated, it said, by the false teachers captivated them. So they were taken prisoner, and yet they were cooperative in a sense. You know, they were captivated. So they were enthralled by these new wonderful ideas because they weren't grounded enough in the Word of God to understand that these ideas were off and would take them down the wrong path.
Mm. Mary, we're just about out of time, but I'm sure there are some young ladies and perhaps older ladies listening right now, and they're wondering, how can I be stronger? How could I have a thicker concrete that serve as the foundation of my life? Is there something practical you can give them, just one thing to get them started on this track towards cultivating that strength, that inner strength in their lives?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the most important thing to understand is that you don't become strong by one big action. You become strong by a lot of small repetitive actions. So every time you take a thought captive for Christ, every time you get into the Word of God, every time you confess a sin, every time you do all these little things that the Bible says we ought to be doing, that's how you become stronger. It's a lifetime of daily immersing ourselves in the truth of God and choosing to obey. And so it's not, you know, it's just like you don't get strong if you go to the gym and jump on the big weight machine and try and push one big weight one time. You become stronger by lots of repetitions, right, and the consistency. And that's what I've noticed in the lives of women who are strong women, women who I admire, who are spiritually strong in the right kind of way. They have a consistency in their lives of pursuing God, of being in the Word, of dealing with sin, of correcting their attitudes, of just walking in the right way with all the little things. And that is what makes them strong.
I heartily recommend this new book, just released by Mary Cassian, The Right Kind of Strong. And the book is endorsed by Nancy DeMoss Wolgamuth, as well as Mrs. Moeller, Mary Moeller, and a number of other important, respected women of God in our country today. We appreciate the work that Mary has done. Mary Cassian is our interview on this edition of the program, and the book is The Right Kind of Strong. Mary, thank you so much for sharing some wisdom. And of course, we just barely touched the surface of what you're communicating in this book, but hopefully we've whetted the taste a bit.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.